Blog Talk Radio.
The PW Torch Livecast is brought to you today by Audible, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a free trial at audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. Once again, that is audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch.
I don't know what to expect. Big Show, he's 7 feet tall, 450 pounds, and all of that is coming for me. But I do know what he can expect. He can expect a man that's faster than a speeding bullet. Bam!
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
It's a Sparkle Kid.
Hello, you people. Today is Wednesday, December the 9th, 2015. I'm your host, Pat McNeil, bringing you today's installment of the longest-running weekday episodic wrestling podcast in the world. This is the PW Torch Livecast, and your Wednesday intro song is Sport for Kings by Kids on Bridges. They're the official artists of the PW Torch Livecast, and they're available on iTunes. Meanwhile, we are coming at you with 60-plus minutes of wrestling and fun, and if you're not careful, you just might learn something before we're done. We are taking your calls, 646-721-9828 here on Blog Talk Radio. We are taking your emails, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Yes, the chat room is open here at pwtorchlivecast.com. And, of course, you can send in your Twitter messages to us at RealPatMcNeil. Thank you all for joining us. By the way, if you tuned in a day early, you may note that tomorrow Wade Keller is scheduled to have on Hall of Fame announcer Jim Ross. We'll be back on the program. That'll be tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern, not today. But today we still have a fine program for you. Let me see. I think we have at least one of our scheduled guests online. So hold on. Here we go.
To introduce our guest star, that's what it's time to do. So it really makes me happy to introduce to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, former television producer and head honcho over at Mask Republic, helping to put together shows and sell lucha merchandise for you, the one and only Kevin Kleinrock. How you doing, Kevin?
Good. I think that was my first Muppets intro. I like that. That was nice.
Oh, you want to keep that one? Okay.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Okay. Well, we are expecting to have Scott Fishman from the Miami Herald. He should be calling in shortly, unless I'm misunderstanding how this works. Okay. Well, I'll just keep an eye on him. It's 646-721-9828 if he's listening. Okay. Now, Kevin, I know that you are busy during this holiday season. I would know that even if you hadn't been messaging me on Twitter with stuff about what is called, Lucha Loot. So why don't we just cover that briefly?
Sure. One of the things that we've really been building for Mask Republic over the last number of years is helping luchadors to exploit their own intellectual property and make money themselves off of selling masks and T-shirts. And, you know, most of the Lucha Libre merchandise out there is pretty bootleg. When you go to most indie shows and you buy a Dr. Wagner mask or you buy a random shirt, the luchadors are not seeing any money from that. So we've worked really hard to build luchashop.com, which is, other than buying from luchadors direct, probably the only way to get official T-shirts and masks and different things from luchadors. And,
right.
And there's been such a great demand for that I've always wanted to, for about 10 years now, I've wanted to do like a Mask of the Month club where people could get a new mask every month. And now with the blind craze, you know, you've got Loot Crate and Nerd Crate and you've got your wrestling versions of that. We decided to do an all Lucha Libre themed Lucha Loot crate. So every month you get a new mask, you get a T-shirt, You get a copy of our new English language Lucha magazine called Rudo Can't Fail. And you get a bunch of other things, depending on your level of membership. And to me, one of the best parts about it is everything is 100% officially licensed. So luchadors are either seeing direct cash from the sales, or they're getting copies of the merchandise that we're making for them so they can sell. It's pretty cool. It starts at $20. We also have like gift cards for it now. So if people aren't themselves into Lucha Libre, but they have a friend that's into Lucha Libre, then they can either buy them a gift subscription or a gift card, and it's all at luchaloot.com. But your Pro Wrestling Torch compatriot, Sean Radican, is actually giving one away. Actually, he gave one away. He's going to be giving another one away through his Twitter. So if you don't follow Sean already, which you should, make sure you follow him so you have a chance of winning a Lucha Loot crate.
Yes, his Twitter account is Sean Radican. It's a really difficult one to, I think most of you can find it. And yeah, I mean, definitely, if you have the chance to win free loot from Lucha Loot and from the Torch, you know, I would definitely take that. Now, you also have, you also sort of have your finger on the pulse of what's going on there, and every so often you let us know about big Lucha events coming up. Is there anything on the horizon this holiday season like that?
If you're in Mexico, there's a lot of shows going on around the Christmas holiday. But, you know, in the U.S., you have internationally, I'd say, you have your spattering events here or there. One of the things that's pretty cool is, I don't know if you guys are so aware of it yet, but there's a newer group that started out of Toronto, Canada, called Lucha Toronto, aptly titled.
Well,
and they've started running some really great shows, mixing local Toronto talent with some of the top indie guys from the U.S. and bringing in at least one or two kind of Mexican headliners every show. They've got an event coming up in January that's actually a fundraiser for a local special needs children charity, which is obviously got, for me, very close to my heart, being the father of two special needs kids. And they're bringing in L.A. Park and Pantera for the show. So people who don't know about Lucha Toronto yet should definitely check them out on social media and on Facebook and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a decade ago where Sami Zayn started out in Montreal as a luchador. So, you know, there's obviously precedent for this, and I know there's a lot of good talent in the Toronto wrestling scene. In the meantime, I believe we have our other guest here on standby. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from the Miami Herald, Mr. Scott Fishman. Scott, how you doing?
Good. Sorry, I'm a little late today. Sorry.
That's okay.
Technology issues. So you know how that goes.
Yes, unfortunately, I do. All right. So, well, Scott, let us know. I mean, you know, in fact, you got introduced on the site today as wrestling interviewer Scott Fishman. So I guess I should ask, what's the next big interview that we can expect from you?
Well, I don't know if it's the next big interview, but I just posted an interview with Murphy of NXT. Channel Guide website. So he talks about being the first Australian-born wrestler to become a WWE champ, to win a WWE championship, and he also talks about working with Blake, how Dusty Rhodes served as a mentor to him, working with Alexa Bliss, and, you know, some different things he talks about. So definitely worth a read, and that's on the Channel Guide blog website, actually, which I've been writing for lately now.
Yeah, I've noticed that even though maybe WWE Raw and SmackDown aren't as popular, don't have as many viewers as they once have, you know, NXT is still a hot property.
Yeah, it's still, I mean, there's so many people that watch it now. Like you even talked about it, you get recognized now in the supermarket. I mean, the WWE Network, a lot of people watch it now. It's destination programming Wednesday nights more than Raw, it seems, nowadays a lot of times. Mm-hmm. If you go by what you hear on Twitter and social media, of course.
I don't know about that, but you know, people definitely seem a little more enthusiastic about watching NXT as they do, you know, watching Raw. Some of it might be because NXT, you know, Raw is 3 hours and 15 minutes, and NXT you get a nice tidy hour of wrestling, and you're ready for more, I guess. But I don't have to tell you that. Let's see. So it's great having both of you on. 646-721-9828. We have, let's see, We have, I think, is this an email? Let's see. Oh, Sammy, okay, here we go. I don't really have a breaking news sound effect at the moment, but the hot tip that we're getting is that tomorrow in Newcastle, Sami Zayn will have his comeback and will be wrestling Finn Balor. So that's pretty big news. It'll be good to have Sami Zayn back. All right, we're gonna try this out. We're going to go to the telephones. We're very brave here. 646-721-9828. We're going to kick things off with the 240 area code. 240. Hold on a moment. Let me get this going. Shoot. I'm sorry, guys. Speaking of technical problems, I know I have this somewhere. Okay, 240. Please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Scott and Kevin.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hello, Ryan.
First question for you is about startup at TNA. If you were to sign some new acquisitions as far as wrestlers or commentators, managers, referees, who would you sign for the relaunch?
My first concern would be where I would get the money to sign anybody for a relaunch, since in the past 2 years we've gone from TNA earning about $13 million a year from Spike TV for Impact to, in 2016, them earning nothing from Pop TV. There are people out there. It's just a question of, finding. It's just a question of how much you're willing to spend. And TNA is. I know that they're trying to keep costs down. I think they've been doing a decent job with that. Let's see, Kevin. What any hot prospects that do you think that TNA should be going after?
Yeah, I think first the question really, now they're on Pop TV, and what is that audience that's on Pop TV going to be looking for? And one thing I feel kind of unfortunately for TNA is that just like in the past, they would sign the big name former WWE superstars, the Kevin Nashes and the basically anyone that's coming out of WWE. I think that to get attention on Pop and to find audience that doesn't already know of TNA, it might take doing some of those things that are possibly regressive for the product itself, but might bring eyeballs. In terms of like top independent talent to sign, and like certain guys that I'm really big on, I don't think it's, these are secrets, but guys like Tommy Yen, who is probably honestly in the Evolve system now, because he'll probably end up going to NXT and going to WWE. But, people like that, I'd say anyone that's near the top or middle of the Evolve card, those are guys that people should be looking at. It'll be interesting to see what they do, because I feel like as much as they have this amazing Teflon factor and they've managed to stay alive for so long, I'm constantly, questioning myself what possibly could be done to bring them either back to where they were or to the next level. And I don't know that any piece of talent or a few pieces of talent is gonna make a huge difference over there.
Okay, Scott, Florida is the place to go if you're an indie wrestler looking to crack a roster somewhere. Have you seen any guys that you think would qualify?
We have Ronin Wrestling now, which is bringing some independent talent. Like next month, they're bringing Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta in. But I agree with you guys as far as like bringing in a top name. I don't know if that will have a long-term impact. You want to get people to watching the show, but I think they need, in order to really build an audience, they really just need to, have good matches and compelling television. I think now is actually a really good time for TNA to have sort of, quote, relaunch or have this like fresh take on things because of what's going on with WWE, and maybe, people are disenfranchised with that and not happy with the way things are going. So this is an opportunity for them maybe to be the alternative, finally going back to the basics of what brought them to the dance. And that was, their wrestling ability. Their talent roster was never the issue. It was always, whatever kind of direction they were going creatively or everything that was happening behind the scenes, and just get putting a bad taste in people's mouth. It was like a dark cloud over their head the last couple of months. When, they had all these months of television taped and everybody already knew what was going on behind the scenes, so that kind of hurts their product of what you're seeing on TV. Lately they've been, the focus has been on this world title series, and, I didn't really like how they went into it, but I've actually enjoyed, ignoring what's been going on backstage, but ignoring that and then watching the product for what it is, and the wrestling, is very wrestling-centric, which I enjoy. So I think if they focus on that, and people will watch it if they get a nice little buzz going, and then I think focusing on who they're going to bring in, I think, I don't know if they should necessarily do that. You want to bring one or two recognizable names. Like, I mean, I don't know if they want to bring in more WWE guys, but maybe like a Sami Callihan even, or Brad Maddox even. Those are guys that, you know, weren't getting that opportunity that they have this platform now where they can bring in guys and develop some sort of buzz. But I think the buzz, real buzz would be just having good matches and going back to the basics and trying to be different than what you're seeing on WWE television these days.
Yeah, I mean, I would, you know, if it were, I mean, I would probably be focusing on guys who are on, you know, look for guys who are on Ring of Honor TV who are not under contract, look for guys who are in Evolve that haven't really, you know, hit the WWE radar. I mean, and there are going to be some wrestlers, like, you know, who have sort of left TNA, but they're not really signed anywhere else, that they'll probably cycle back through. And you know, if you're using them for five or six, you know, if you're using them for three or four episodes at a time, that's fine. I mean, but I don't know that there's the, you know, I don't know that there's that one hot piece of talent that's gonna rescue TNA. I mean, you know, Ricochet is pretty good. Combat Zone has some good wrestlers, but you know, anybody who's hot is probably going to end up getting a WWE tryout before anything else. So you're looking. You're trying to look in places where nobody else is looking. I mean, AR Fox is a name that, you know, you could, I mean, he's not going to be on the radar. You can probably, you know, you could probably bring him in and he has a look and he can do some unique moves. I don't know what to tell you. What's your next question, Ryan?
My next question is about the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. Do you know anyone that's responsible for getting votes for that? Like for a certain wrestler getting in,
Do you mean, do I know any of the voters?
Right, or any of your guests know who some of those voters are? It seems like it might be a Mexican influence because a lot of the Mexican wrestlers seem to get in. There's like a good many of those who get in.
There's a huge list of people who vote for that, and they break it down, and you really only get to vote for the categories that you kind of know about and are aware about for the most part. They try to limit it. But the pool is huge. I mean, I'm sure that it's at this point in excess of, you know, a few hundred people that are casting votes.
Yeah, I don't want to put you off really, but if you want to know about the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame balloting process, there's a guy who hosts on Friday who does that every year. His name is Bruce Mitchell. And he could probably answer those questions a lot better than I could. What else?
And my final question is, what's the greatest photograph you've taken in wrestling, like being a journalist for the newspaper?
Okay, well, no, that's for Scott. Scott, what's your favorite wrestling photograph you've taken?
I don't know because, you know, I'm not really known for, like, my photographs. I'm not, like, a George Napolitano type or anything like that. But, I mean, I just recall different memories of the few times that I did, like, kind of, like, shoot, I guess you could say, was the old MLW shows, I think, were great because they were just fun to see all these guys, even today, like CM Punk and, but back then, like, Steve Corino and Terry Funk, and I remember photographing that and some autograph signings. Now, looking back now, I really appreciate my time, you know, at the Macho Man Randy Savage signing autographs. This was toward the end of his career, though, so he was promoting his rap album, just to put a timestamp on that. And then also, I think it was back with Eddie Guerrero, did a signing down here in South Florida at a local Kmart. And so just seeing him interact with the fans and just capturing those moments, I think that was gave me a good appreciation for it. But as far as, like, taking photos, I'm not really like, predominantly known for that. But, you know, I look back at when I do cover, you know, these local events, these local autograph signings, that's what I take from it.
Okay. Kevin, I know that you're also not primarily a photographer, but is there anything that sticks out for you?
I guess for us, or for me, it would be things that happen. Well, there's two things. One is we had done, you know, a number of XPW shows at the Grand Olympic Auditorium, and just being in that building and being able to, you know, produce and shoot in that building was such a fantastic place. And so just the halls and the history in that building, it was really nice to to shoot stuff there. And then anytime I've done things in either Tijuana or Mexico City, just, you know, it's such a contrast from all the other shows and events that, you know, I've either been to or produced here in the U.S. that, you know, I think a lot of times when you've got unique situations or you've got situations that you're not seeing everywhere else, you know, that's for me has been the most exciting kind of stuff.
Okay. I probably need to, I don't really take a lot of pictures. I mean, I've got some around there. You know, from the various shows I've done, got some photos from my time in the indie scene. Probably should put some of those up, including the afternoon I got to manage the Honky Tonk Man, which was probably a bigger thrill for me than it was for him. I got some good photos of when the Briscoes and Necro Butcher and Man Man Pondo were brawling in front of me. That was fun. I've got a very nice photo of me with Alice in Danger, which was actually taken by Jigsaw, who was nice enough to, hold my camera and do that for me. But I'm not really a photography guy though. So most of my pictures turn out, you know, kind of crappy.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Kevin.
No problem. All right. Well, Ryan drops off, and that opens up a line for you. At 646-721-9828. Thank you. PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com is the other way to reach us. And the chat room, of course, is open. And let's see. Why don't we take a break here when we come back? For a couple words from our sponsors. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls and emails and the like. We've got Scott Fishman, Miami Herald. We have Kevin Kleinrock of Mass Republic and Lucha Loot. And we'll be back after this timeout.
As a listener of the PW Torch Livecast, it's obvious you're a pro wrestling fan who likes pro wrestling podcasts. Now there's a new website for you. Hi, I'm PW Torch Managing Editor Wade Keller, and I'm excited to announce that we have launched a new website called pwpodcasts.com. This website reports on pro wrestling podcasts by Steve Austin, Taz, Jim Ross, Colt Cabana, the crew at Grantland with Chief Heat, and so many more. You get full, comprehensive reports of what was talked about with timestamps so that you can jump to the subjects that interest you most, even when your time is limited, or details on what was said if you just don't have time to listen to that podcast this week, and guides on which podcasts really stand out as must-listen and which ones maybe you can afford to skip this week if your time is limited. Individual, comprehensive, long reports on all of the top pro wrestling podcasts out there, updated every day at pwpodcasts.com. Check it out. That's pwpodcasts.com.
Yes, thanks to our friends at pwpodcast.com. Also, this show is brought to you by Audible, leading provider of audiobooks. If you like audiobooks, go to audible.com, audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. Sign up, get the first book free, $14.95 a month to be a member. Pick out one book a month, any book you want. Listen to it however you want. Exchange any book you don't like, no questions asked, and cancel at any time. You also get 30% off each additional audiobook during the month while you're a member. Or you don't even have to be a member. You can just go on their site and buy audiobooks that way. It's all very simple. It's audible.com because you shouldn't have to learn the alphabet to be able to read. Also, let's see, I should point out that this program is the PW Torch Livecast. And in a shocking development, it is presented to you by the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and website. The show airs every Monday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, after Raw, Tuesday through Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern, Friday, whenever Bruce and Travis feel like it. And, of course, you can listen live right here. You can go to pwtorch.com, get the free apps and links to where we are on various other media outlets. And what else am I supposed to – there's something else I'm supposed to be advertising. Hold on. It's going to come to me in a minute. Oh, yeah, the newsletter, pwtorch.com/govip.
Yep. Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Yeah, $10 a month, $99 a year. Wade Keller has special sales so often. But you get a lot of extras. You get at least 15 VIP-exclusive audio shows per week, including the VIP After Show, which will be getting done later this evening, including the Wayback Playback, which Jim Valley and I put up every Sunday for your listening pleasure. Something. Think of it as a nice little audio track that audio commentary track that goes well alongside what you're watching on the WWE Network. The Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, The Fix with Todd Martin, they're all there. The newsletters are in slick PDF files. You'll like it that way. And get on the ad-free version of the PWTorch.com website, which some people seem to like best of all. We also put up polls every Wednesday. Today's live cast poll is we asked what match you're most looking forward to this weekend, and we put up several options to choose from. And, of course, there's the chance to write in your own. I don't think we included everything. But let's see what we have here as of an hour or so ago. All right, leading the way, 58% of you are voting for this Sunday, Kevin Owens defending the Intercontinental title against Dean Ambrose. Second place is a tie between the NXT match tonight, which is Finn Balor, Apollo Crews against Samoa Joe and Baron Corbin, and the big Wyatt Family versus Team ECW tables match also coming up on Sunday at TLC. But we want your votes, so go ahead, pwtorch.com, cast your ballots now. And we're back here with Scott Fishman and Kevin Kleinrock. Sorry about the extended hype delay. Guys, I mean, I know that, Kevin, this probably isn't your first topic of choice, but as you might have heard, there is somewhat of a crisis in WWE. The Raw ratings have been on the downswing for, 14 or 15 straight weeks. They have lost a quarter of their viewers from this time last year. And Vince McMahon was reportedly very upset by the fact that people were walking out of the building during the main event segment. Of course, the main event segment was Roman Reigns cutting a promo and then Sheamus coming out, but still he felt hurt and insulted by this. I don't know. Kevin, what do you think? You keep track of what's going on in other wrestling. What do you think is hurting WWE right now?
Oh, but I keep track here as well. I follow WWE closely. I don't think what I have to say is anything that other people aren't sitting here screaming. I think that first off, the format's got to change. It's been the same format, and I think the January 1st or the first Monday in January is probably an excellent opportunity for them to call it a season premiere, shake up the format, and just break the formula. They have so much that they can do that they're capable of doing that they're not doing. Everyone talks about it. The great video packages you see on NXT, why aren't those being produced for talent that are on the main roster? The network has so much great content, and you're trying to sell the network. Why can't you take 5 minutes of Raw and say, this week we're going to highlight some of the best Ric Flair matches of all time and do a mini countdown of those matches, and don't show the full matches, but run through the matches, give a clip or two of each, and direct people to a playlist on the network. Why can't we have more sit-down interviews with, a Jim Ross or somebody where we can see some character development and we can get a taste of something that's not this horrific in-ring, obviously scripted promo? I just think that the first thing is just shaking up how things are being presented, because it is the same formula week in and week out. It's predictable. Number two, I think, is going away from these horrifically scripted promos. I mean, everybody, not everybody, I guess I should say, but a lot of people, took exception to the Paige and Charlotte incident, when the mentioning of Reed Flair. And to me, while that was done in bad taste, what bugged me probably even more about the segment was Charlotte saying the title doesn't matter. Whatever else she said after that, it was something like, the type of person you are, or how this or that. And I'm like, your champion's in the ring saying the title doesn't matter. Why should anybody in the audience give a crap then about your champion and who the champions are and what? And this week, I caught during the Braun Strowman Tommy Dreamer match, Michael Cole throws out the line, Braun Strowman shows no remorse, and it immediately jarred me, because I'm sitting here going, okay, number one, that's a trait that any heel should have. Every heel on your roster should be showing no remorse. But more importantly, what have you done through a match, through a vignette, through a promo, through anything to actually show me this? You have these announcers putting out all this hollow talk. And I think that, whether it's Vince or the writers, they sit there and they know the storylines that they're trying to get over in their heads, But there's no development that the audience gets to see other than trying to believe what the announcers are telling you about a character or this or that. And it's such a toxic combination, I think, of the format and everybody being written the same kind of cheesy dialogue, and they just kind of need a whole, you know, dare I say, reset button, because you don't, I'm not saying to reset all of these storylines and titles and all that, but they need a fresh approach, I think, and that combined with a hot angle or two that's going to get people talking outside of the people that are watching it today is really what they need.
All right. Scott, do you want to do your rant first, or I can go first and give you time to, you know, there's nothing that everything that Kevin said is true. You know what, what bothers me is, you know, the WWE has said, you know, they're obviously disappointed with the ratings. They're putting out, you know, they're sending out these surveys on social media. They're putting them out on various social websites. I don't know. I haven't seen anybody who, you know, I haven't seen any responses on social media or on the web that say, you know what I want to see? I want to see a scripted 20-minute promo that goes nowhere. I haven't seen any of that. I haven't seen, you know. But probably the thing that I think people are taking for granted that such a turnoff is, you know, we've had the same heel authority figure storyline for about 18 years, but, you know, I mean, Jim Bally and I have been getting, you know, putting together our way back playback of the 1998 Survivor Series. You know, I don't think Steve Austin would have worked out that well if you had Steve Austin, you know, go for his big title shot at WrestleMania, and then suddenly The Undertaker cashes in his Money in the Bank briefcase and beats down Austin and pins him, and then Austin keeps trying for several months, and McMahon keeps outwitting him. Then he wins the title for 12 seconds, and then, you know, The Rock cashes in another briefcase and pins him. I mean, it's been the bad guys in control for the vast majority of the last couple years. And, you know, I know that in wrestling a lot of people believe, you know, the money is in the chase for the title. But, you know, now that it's pretty established that the stories are what the wrestling promoters come up with, you know, I mean, WWF always made their money not off of the chase, but off of, you know, our good guy who's the champion. He defends, you know, takes on the bad guys and wins. And we're not playing any of that.
I think, too, though, there's a difference between a chase where you're building and building and building, and then you're accomplishing the goal, and what we've seen here with Roman Reigns. It's not about the chase. It's chase, fail, chase, fail, chase, fail. And I think even those, you know, look, you're building Roman Reigns to replace John Cena. And what I mean by that is he's going to appeal to the women and the kids. He's not going to appeal to the same fan that's booing John Cena. And if that's the case, then you're really having to get him over with the kids. And how many times is this potential hero going to have to fail in front of those kids before the kids are like, you know what, he's just not that cool, he's just not that good. And I think with the last loss to Sheamus, I mean, that's what I saw. And then to see him there in the ring, you know, almost in tears, and it's just like, you're not, but he should have come in whenever it was, and he should be destroying people. And even, you know, as much as I think that, you know, you can blame the writers and you can blame whoever, there was a very particular moment watching the end segment of Raw last week. And, you know, they're brawling all over the place. And then there's this moment where they're at ringside and they're going, I think they're heading towards kind of the tables or whatever to set up the spot for the end, and they're both walking. You are setting up a main event for a pay-per-view, and Roman Reigns, there's no fire in him. He is not chasing after Sheamus. He is not showing no mercy. Austin would not be walking around that ring, you know, hoping he catches up to Sheamus whenever he can. I mean, I just think you don't see the fire that sells stories and sells promo. I mean, I see that kind of a fire in is Dean Ambrose. And that's it. I don't see it in anybody else. I don't see, and I think, you know, it's no surprise, I think, that, you know, when I see Dean Ambrose, I see flashbacks to, you know, Terry Funk, and I see flashbacks to other, you know, to Piper. And it's not surprising. Those guys were the ones that sold, you know, stories and sold matches and sold tickets. And that's just, it's just missing. And not that everybody should be the same, but between the 50-50
right.
booking, between everything, it's just everybody's the same. Nobody has any fire. And if the wrestlers aren't acting as if this fight, this match, this title is the most important thing, why should we at home think it is?
Right. Well, I want to get the comments of Scott from Miami in here. Hold on a moment.
There we go.
I think I got it. Okay. Scott, are you there?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, I just wanted to give you the.
I mean,
we've gotten our rants in. I just wanted to give you the opportunity to say to talk about what's missing.
Well, I forgive me if I repeat everything you guys have just said, but I totally agree.
That's
about
cool.
the format changing. One of the main things. I think it's like subtle changes that can make a world of difference. I don't think change is going to happen overnight. But even eliminating the opening promos every Monday night, I think that'll show people that you're trying to make an effort to change things up. I think, I don't know, as far as changing the look of the show, I don't know if that'll help also. But just doing that, I think, and then you mentioned about Roman Reigns, and you hit the nail on the head. I don't know why they keep, you know, incessantly trying to make him be someone he's not. Trying to be that John Cena guy, he's not going to be the guy on the mic, that charismatic guy. Or maybe he will be,
yeah.
But if you give him the opportunity to be himself and not have him try to remember line for line everything he's going to say, the guy's probably under so much pressure. And, you know, he's only been around for a couple of years when you think of his experience level and being put in these situations. And I think as far as if you saw that what the problems were in that whole end of segment show. I mean, they just went on and on and on, and then all of a sudden the fans actually started to connect with them when they started fighting. And I think that just shows you where they can go with Roman Reigns. They basically did wrong with Roman Reigns ever since the Royal Rumble with Daniel Bryan. And they were putting him in these situations where he's not going to get, be this clear, concise hero. And I still believe in clear-cut having, like, villains and heroes. And I think you need that. And a perfect problem going on is in the Divas division when you have Paige and Charlotte. I mean, jumping back and forth on whether we should cheer them or boo them. The whole Divas division, there's no like clear cut character development. Yeah, they're getting more time in the ring, but they're having meaningless matches, so nothing really matters in that sense. So I think, little changes they can make, and it's things that we see that I don't understand why they don't see it or they fail to want to do anything about it. But I think they're really gonna try to do something. Maybe the ratings don't matter as much to them as much as subscription services to the WWE Network. So if they're still the number three, or the number one show on cable TV, it's hard for them to see that change needs to be done. But if they see numbers dwindling of the network, then maybe they'll try to change things. But looking forward to TLC, it's like, it's like what kind of development? It's almost like they're on cruise control. But I will say this, though, playing, devil's advocate, they have been struck with the injury bug a lot. So they've been kind of forced to try to mutter around as far as creative is concerned. But even having longer matches and having decisive finishes can make a difference in what I'm seeing. So you don't have to, it's not reinventing the wheel as far as what you're going to, as far as making things different, making things better. I mean, it's, honestly, if we see it, why don't they see it, really?
Well, honestly, I think the answer to that is, and I could be wrong, but this is my take on the answer to that question. I think that, one, they... back in the day, the number was always thrown around, the internet audience is only 10% of our audience. And I think that they would probably have to agree it's a bigger percent these days. But I still feel like they think that the voices that are out there, the Pat McNeils, the Scott Fishmans, the whoever else, that is not representative of their true core audience member. But the only way that they're polling or they're trying to figure out what their true core audience member it wants is in these surveys that don't make sense. They're asking these questions like, what do you prefer, interview segments or matches? Well, and I'm not the first person to say that's the survey. Is it a really good interview or is it a really crappy match? Like, they don't have their pulse on their audience, and their ways of trying to figure out who their audience is and what that pulse is, I don't think are the ways they're really going to figure out how to fix this problem.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say survey. They get a survey every show with the fans when the response, and the lack of response, like perfect case in point is Monday Night Raw, which you can hear a pin drop most of the segment. So that can give them an idea of what's working and what's not working. You have a guy like Dean Ambrose who you consistently, you know, bring down and have him get beat down and all, and fans still respond to him. Shouldn't that set off a, you know, maybe I should push this guy, or, you know, it's the start and stop, like you mentioned, the consistency of everything. But when they see people leaving the venue, that should kind of be like, okay, maybe we're not doing anything we can to get people to stay because they're paid to be here, and they don't want to be here. They want to leave and make so that they don't get stuck in traffic. They'd rather, you know, be in their car on their way home than watch what you're going to see at the end of this show. So, you know, there's a lot of issues there. But, yeah, these surveys are great, but the main survey is the live audience, which they get every week. So that's – I don't know why.
I think that they all – I mean, and again, speaking from the outside, it seems to me like there's always a – there's always a way for them to go, but it was this. For example, that live audience was leaving. Oh, but we were in this town, or but the TV audience, you know, that's different than the people that were here live, or this or that or whatever. And it's always like there's that but, and it seems like they're just not, like you said, it doesn't have to be a complete overhaul of everything on the TV show, but change it up a little bit, test other segments. Test segments like this new Adam Rose thing, and how the hell that's making TV, and even when it made it the first week, how the hell it made it the second week, I have no idea. Who is making the decisions that that is what anybody in the audience, live or at home, wants to see?
Yeah. And perfect example is with New Day, when you let the guys be themselves and experiment, like you said, the New Day's been given the ball, and the fans have been responding to them, and they've been successful because they're showing their characters, because they're very much like that off-camera, and they're able to put that on camera. So it's just something that clicks with the, you know, what's going on television. So that's just a perfect example of, so you're letting guys, you're giving the ball and giving them creative freedom in this sense, but then you're, you know, you're giving a guy like Roman Reigns, you're not trusting him enough to be on your show. If you didn't trust him enough, then why put on the show in the first place, basically? But if you believe in him and you know that he has potential, then let him be himself and let him do what he does best. I mean, you even look at like a guy like Bill Goldberg. He was over, but not because of long in-ring promos, because he destroyed guys. And Roman Reigns, when he was doing that, and now he's not, they kind of cut him off at the legs. And what's great about Paul Heyman back in the day is because he accentuated the positives and kind of like hid the negatives. And these guys are doing the complete opposite of what's been going on the last couple of weeks, last couple of months.
Right. Okay. I do want to get a few audience questions in. Let's see what we have here. The adventure continues as we go to the chat room. Chat room question for Kevin. Do you think the alien invasion storyline Lucha Underground is rumored to be doing is a good idea?
Okay. One, I think. Okay. So first off, I don't think that there's really an alien invasion storyline. Now, maybe I could be wrong, but I believe that the show might have some more additional sci-fi elements. I mean, I encourage anybody to go and listen to any of the podcasts or radio interviews that guys like Chris DeJoseph have done. The Lucha Underground world is such a unique world, and which I think is what makes that show so awesome, is that it's not like anything else on television, and it is there's a whole nother level of willing suspension of disbelief when watching that. You know, when they're telling me that Drago's a real dragon, and when they're having people, you know, disappear in fireballs or monsters, like, that's what makes that show what it is, and it should stay that way. I think that the quote that got a little bit more twisted and turned was trying to reference the fact that I think that there will be more sci-fi type elements, but I don't think, and I could be totally wrong because I have no insider knowledge over there, but I don't think it's really an alien invasion. And certain things that Chris DeJoseph ended up tweeting after that kind of rumor got out, I think we're just kind of playing with the fans who were believing into that, tweeting little pictures of aliens and different things. I don't really think that there will be. But I do believe that they should completely stay in their direction of, this is a drama, this is a fantasy that happens to center around a wrestling promotion, and we have these full, awesome wrestling matches. Yeah. But we are not a wrestling, we are not WWE, we are not TNA, we are not a wrestling show with, you know, instant replays and flashbacks and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a place for that. I mean, obviously you have Game of Thrones and there's dragons there and magic and that sort of thing. And anything to add there, Scott?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's what fans have, you know, expected from Lucha. As long as they, you know, they still have the great matches and still have that, I'm okay with the over-the-top storytelling because that's the venue and that's the place that it fits well with. So I think it'll, you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of stories they tell this time around. But I think the production is amazing and just the cinematic feel to it, I think. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do next. Now that they have kind of like a built-in audience and now they're trying to grow as time goes on. So I'm excited for what they're doing. But as long as they keep Bigfoot out of it, I think we're good.
Well, and I think, you know, you have all these wrestling fans who are saying we want something different. If you watch season one of Lucha Underground, it was different, and not in a bad way. I mean, there might be some things you don't like, but you know, it's an entertaining show. I mean, you know, it's not new Japan. Let's see, what other questions do we have in the chat room here? Okay, this is one for Scott Fishman from our man Chicky Singer. Chicky wants to know, other than yourself, who do you feel is the greatest pro wrestling reporter?
I don't know. It's subjective, but I appreciate Bill Apter. I always am grateful for Bill Apter, because he gave me an opportunity to actually get published in my, you know, first magazine, and ended up being like the cover story. I think it was like Total Wrestling magazine before it closed down. It was actually the last issue with Eddie Guerrero on the cover, so I was really grateful for that. And he's always been really cool to me, and just because of that, I think I'll say Bill Apter. And I read his book recently, and it's great. So, and he's always, you know, he always finds the positive in it. Because, you know, we're always like, you know, this sucks and this is bad. But he always, you know, he maintains his, you know, he always finds the good in things. And I think I respect that about him. And he's always, you know, he doesn't want to burn bridges at the same time. But, you know, there's a way of doing things and a way of reporting things. And I think, you know, he does a good job of being balanced, but also not trying to blatantly bash or trash something because, you know, all the bad stuff like that. So I'll have to go with him, I guess.
Okay, we're going to go back to the phones here in a second. I want to remind everybody that coming up at the bottom of the hour on most of these Blog Talk radio stations, the East Coast cast, Travis Bryant and Bardry Purnell, will be presenting the show. Go to eastcoastcast.com to listen live. And unlike this program, parental discretion is advised. Let's see. I could ask the same question of Kevin. Kevin, other than me, who do you think the greatest pro wrestling reporter is?
You know, honestly, for me, it's about what I'm looking for. You know, I love Bill Apter. You know, when I finally got to meet Bill after growing up reading his magazines and, you know, sending him letters to his magazines, it was really a great experience. I have not read the book yet, but I definitely plan on reading it. And I never really thought about it, but I love what Scott just said about Bill's positivity. You know, I think that's obviously there's always got to be somebody who can at least, you know, try to show the positive when everyone else is kind of breaking down the negative. But you know, yeah, for me, it's just really been different. You know, I grew up and really, as I was developing my career in this business, I read Torch and I read Observer. And so, you know, when it came to super, super detailed business analysis, you know, I enjoyed reading Meltzer. Yeah. When it came to give it to me in a more simple way but update me on everything and give me the news, you know, I like reading, you know, Wade stuff. And so I think it really depends on what specifically, you know, I was looking for, you know, in a particular moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that does have a lot to do with it. And, you know, it's kind of hard to do a newsletter or a magazine like Bill Apter did because everything, you know, it's the internet. Everything is very up to the minute now.
I do want to mention that we just launched the first monthly English language Lucha Libre magazine called Rudo Can't Fail. And we're working with a number of great writers, and we're covering everything from AAA and CMLL and Lucha Underground to independent that are doing Lucha Libre throughout the world. We've got contributors. The first issue that is almost sold out, but back in 1994 in the Pro Wrestling Torch yearbook, Wade did this incredible 15-page interview with Conan. And so Wade gave us permission to reprint some of the original interview in our first issue, and then we did an interview now with Conan talking about looking back at that, you know, certain things he said then, you know, how he feels things have changed, how things have stayed the same. And so I encourage anyone who wants to check that out to go to luchashop.com and pick up Rudo Can't Fail, or go to rudocantfail.com and you can actually hear the whole hour-plus interview that we did with Conan about that 1994 Torch Talk.
Okay, that's definitely, if you haven't read the original one, go definitely check out Rudo's Can't Fail, and it would be interesting to hear some of what Conan has to say today. Let's see. Next question from the chat room. Oh, boy, this is going to be good. Whose idea was it for Ryback to become a high-flying wrestler with drop kicks off the second rope and topes and that sort of thing? I'm going to go with it wasn't my idea, but that's another problem, I think, with modern wrestling is guys feeling the need to be in that cookie cutter mold where you can do these offensive moves. Ryback shouldn't have to be doing topes. I mean, if he wants to do one on a pay per view just for shock value, that's fine. But it should, you know, this really shouldn't be part of what this guy does on a regular basis, I think. Scott?
Totally agree with you. I get you want to try different moves and be different, but look what happened when Brock Lesnar tried to do that at WrestleMania. Things didn't go very well, so I think maybe sticking to your strengths would be good, and especially if you know it's going to be dangerous, because that looked really scary on Monday, what's going on. I mean, accidents happen, but, I don't even know why he would want to do that. Someone that size, I mean, people that usually do those high-flying moves, it's because, you know, you're the smaller guy, so you're, you know, you have these athletic, you know, do these abilities. I guess he wanted to show off a little bit. I don't know what happened that night, but I don't know if he's going to do it again now after that.
Yeah, and I mean, Big Show was, you know, Paul White was able to do moonsaults in 1995 when he first debuted in WCW. They made the crazy decision not to have him do them and to be a giant instead. I think that having different styles and having, you know, everybody not be the same type of wrestler it used to be part of what made wrestling interesting and exciting.
Although what made Vader awesome was because he could do those moves. I guess Vader is the exception to the rule when you look at it. I mean, but he's not doing like somersaults and things like
right.
that. I mean, he did moonsaults mm-hmm. and things like that, but not anything like a tope off the ropes or something like that.
Yeah. Also, Vader didn't win matches with that move. I mean, that was something. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it wasn't really. I mean, it wasn't like it was his finisher. I don't know. I think different styles make for, you know, better wrestling sometimes. All right, let's see what else we have here. Okay, 646-721-9828 is the other way to reach us. Let's see, Scott, you talked briefly about some of the indie stuff that's going on there. Is there any word as to whether TNA is going to end up coming back to Orlando at some point, or is that?
I haven't heard as far as what's going on with the pop, you know, TV tapings, but if they do come back, I hope it's, you know, I don't know how much, I know it's expensive to tour, but it would be good if they kept going on, you know, as far as doing different areas, because I think that was one of the things that they became complacent as far as the crowd's reactions, and, you know, they were kind of like almost spoiled, almost like what the NXT crowd is going. I mean, a lot of people aren't appreciating the NXT crowd, because they're, quote, trying to put themselves over before the show, but, you know, they're actually, you know, they're excited about the product and things like that, which is totally different than, you know, TNA during the, and there was a point where the fans were really invested in the TNA product in Orlando, but things started to go down, you know, hill, I guess, at times, and then it became like a touristy thing. So, I mean, as much as for myself, I like it because it's only a 4-hour drive for me, and it's a Universal Studios, so that's a fun venue to be at. I'm sure they will be doing more tapings there, but I hope it's not like predominantly there, basically. But I haven't heard anything as far as anything past January.
Okay. They got the tapings in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Kevin, have you heard anything exciting about other than the alien invasion, about what we're going to see from Lucha Underground in January?
Let's see. There is definitely new talent debuting. There is some really good talent, talent that a lot of fans who are aware of AAA and the potential of who might get called up, people that they've been saying they want to see. And then also I think there's at least one indie name that might not really be on people's radar, but I've certainly been singing his praises for a number of years now, and looks like he's going to end up there in a pretty pretty big role. I'm sorry that I'm not giving more away right now, but I have been called by their lawyers before for a tweet on a dark mat. So we're going to keep it at that, but definitely you know, keeping in line with you know, the great talent they had last season. I think that there's some really good names coming in for the new season, and I expect the in-ring product to be, you know, just as good, if not better, than the first season.
All right, we're going to try this again. I don't know why. We're going to go to the 347 area code. 347. Please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Scott and Kevin.
Jonathan from New York.
I'm sorry, was that Jonathan?
Jonathan from New York, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry about before. Is that I got terrible signal in my on my workplace?
Okay, no problem. What's your question?
Well, I got a question about the current product and you know, the storyline between Roman and Sheamus. So,
okay. So
let's say for some reason Sheamus keeps the belt in TLC. That's most likely what's going to happen. So it's going to be another rematch at the Royal Rumble. But how do you think that WWE can pull out a miracle between Royal Rumble and building a WrestleMania pay-per-view around the belt? Because I don't see it. I don't see a good pay-per-view going into WrestleMania with everybody hurt.
Well, see, that's the thing. They are going to have Brock Lesnar back. I expect that Undertaker will be back for the push to WrestleMania. John Cena should be back for January. I think they will put together at least one marquee match that people want to see, but I don't know that it's going to be the title match. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, all the people who are, you know, the rumors that they want to do John Cena versus Undertaker this year, if they do that match, it's going to overshadow whatever is going on with the belt.
Yeah, because I've been hearing the booking that JR wants to do. He wants to put the belt in Cena, and then Cena competes against Undertaker. That would be like a decent, you know, but at the end of the day, it's not going to make sense, because if you bake in the belt again, what are you going to do, another tournament? And we already saw the mess that they did before, you know?
Yeah, if they do that match, I don't think it's going to be for the title. Let's see. Okay, thank you. Let me get some other opinions here. I mean, we're coming up on the end of the hour, and if you're so those of you who listen live, be sure to check out Jim Ross tomorrow. The rest of you, all of this will be available for download after we're done here. Scott, what do you think about for WrestleMania? I think he's got a point that, you know, a WrestleMania built around Sheamus and/or Roman Reigns wrestling for the title might not be great, but I think there's other ways to draw interest.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, I think they're going to try to draw on a nostalgia level. I don't know who they're going to bring in, or, you know, you hear stories about Rock not being available, Ronda Rousey not being available, Seth Rollins being injured, but I don't know. I don't see Sheamus being a long-term champion, and I feel like between now and even at the Royal Rumble, something that will take place where, I mean, they're going to build, I don't know if it's Roman Reigns that's going to win the title or not, but definitely Brock Lesnar will be put in the mix as far as the championship match, I believe, moving forward, if they're going to go the way they are with Undertaker and John Cena. And then I don't know where they're going to put with Triple H now, because it was supposed to be, you hear stories that, but with Triple H, if he's going to be facing, he was going to face The Rock, and now that's out the door, or is he going to be facing Seth Rollins, now that's at the door, maybe even face Roman Reigns, I guess, moving forward. They kind of hinted at that a little bit, leading into the push for the Survivor Series, and then at Survivor Series, so that I could see that being a big match between those two. I don't see Sheamus holding the title going into WrestleMania. That's one thing. I mean, moving forward, I don't know who's going to win it, but the focus will definitely be on Brock Lesnar, and I guess they're going to, you know, of course, with Undertaker, I don't know who they're going to put him with. I guess Cena would be the one choice, a match we haven't seen very much in a long time, so they could build that to established names that fans that don't watch the product all the time can, you know, it'll resonate with them, so that'll be a match that would draw. So I don't know, But it's 100,000, over 100,000 people. It's just, you know, it's the worst time for them to get caught with the injury bug, though.
Yeah, I guess it is. Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with everything that Scott said. I mean, the one thing I keep hearing over and over is Vince wants Roman to have his WrestleMania moment. He wants Roman to win at WrestleMania. And I just don't see how there's a money-drawing match that's going to make that happen. You know, are you going to put the belt on Brock at the Rumble and then have him drop it to Roman a few months later? I just don't – that's not a good use of Brock, I don't think. And Sheamus and you know, Reigns on top, or even if it's a title match, is not very exciting. Though my feeling is that the company completely overestimates the public's, you know, opinion of Sheamus. Anyway, and I understand the thought was put it on Sheamus and make people hate him more than they hate Roman Reigns, and I get that. But I don't know what the hell they're going to do. I think it's going to have to be this ensemble, you know, ensemble card where it's not just about one match. It's going to have to be bringing in a few, you know, the big names and putting together a number of things on top. My guess at this point, with the roster being as low as it is, Triple H will wrestle, be it against Reigns or be it against somebody else. But I'm thoroughly, both from, you know, as someone who looks at the business of pro wrestling and as a fan of pro wrestling, I would not want to be sitting where they are right now, and I am very intrigued to see what they actually do over the next few months.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting. We'll sort of wrap that up there. Guys, I do want you to get in, let everybody know how they can keep track of what you're doing via social media. Why don't we start with you, Kevin?
All right, so the best place for all the news is at Masked Republic, M-A-S-K-E-D, mm-hmm. Republic on Twitter or on Instagram or Masked Republic on Facebook. And then, you know, the two things I talked about a little bit earlier, Lucha Loot, which you can go to luchaloot.com or at Lucha Loot. And then also the new magazine, Rudo Can't Fail. Rudo, R-U-D-O, Can't Fail. That's that website or on Twitter as well. And, yep, check out all things Lucha legal and in English from Masked Republic.
Okay. Scott, how can people keep track of you and everything that and all of your writing and stories and interviews? Yeah.
Well, basically, on Twitter, it's at SM Fishman. And then also on Facebook, you can look up my name, Scott Fishman, and I have like a page as well where I'm posting my links to the articles. Also, miamiherald.com/sports/fighting and channelguideblog.com.
Okay. That's a lot. Guys, I really appreciate you coming by this week and getting us prepped for the big TLC weekend and all the wrestling going on. Thank you both, and continued success to you as well.
Thank you.
Next week on this program, we're not sure exactly how we're going to do this, but it looks as if NXT London is going to be wrapping up at about the time this show starts, so we'll probably be doing an NXT London post-game show here. That should be very interesting. And we thank all of you for being part of the program. We hope that you'll rejoin us next week. Same Pat time, same Pat channel, and we'll do it all again. Good night.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
You suck it. You can suck it. Suck it.
Suck it.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog. Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.